La chambre très commune se vide et ses occupants de cavaler à travers le pays, pillant et ravageant de leurs folles promesses la nation tout entière. Mais chacun, dans son inévitable fragilité, avait oublié le grand rhinocéros et les masses de se réjouir à la vue des
calls collect from Riviera de Prairie Prison or Bordeaux Prison.
Good day. You're listening to Free City Radio. This is the 194th edition of the program. Thank you for being with us. On the show today, I am going to be featuring voices from the Netherlands who have been mobilizing in solidarity with the Palestinian people. There has been intense and amazing organizing around the world to express support for the Palestinian struggle for freedom and to call for a permanent and stable ceasefire in Gaza as the Israeli government continues to bomb the Palestinian lands of Gaza, impacting thousands and thousands of Palestinian families and having taken the lives of over 20,000 Palestinians, according to the health ministry in Gaza. On the program today, we will hear from Marte Haringa of Dutch Scholars for Palestine, who has been organizing academics in the context of the Netherlands to support Palestinian human rights. And also we will hear from Nesrin Sheer, who has been organizing also in the context of the Netherlands, both in the labor and academic context to support Palestine. These are part of thousands and thousands of voices around the world who are expressing support for Palestinian human rights. And I'm very happy to feature them here on Free City Radio.
So there's many initiatives all around the world that are making an effort to organize in different spaces to support Palestinian human rights. One of those spaces is an academic space, and you know, there's also many other contexts, workers' spaces, cultural workers, and there's an unprecedented conversation about Palestinian human rights that is taking place. Maybe you could just introduce yourself, where you are, and the work that you're involved in your local context.
So my name is Marte Heringa. I'm in the Netherlands, and I'm involved in two movements for Palestine. So I'm a student, and I am part of Students for Palestine, The Hague, which is a student movement consisting of students from different universities and academic institutions around The Hague. And I'm also coordinator of Dutch Scholars for Palestine, which is a network of academics and cultural workers in the Netherlands in solidarity with Palestine and advocating for an academic boycott.
So Dutch Scholars for Palestine has issued a very powerful statement. Most people listening won't be aware of this statement. If you could just share a bit about the statement and how it came about, and most importantly, and just if you can focus on, why you felt it was important in the context of the Netherlands to make this statement for Palestine within an academic context, because there's a lot of millennial activists and Gen Z activists who have like a very different perspective on understanding the fundamental colonial nature of what Palestinians are experiencing and opposing that colonial violence, which is different from other generations. Of course, there's activists from other generations that are supportive of Palestinian human rights. But yeah, please share your thoughts.
So we wrote the statement, I think it was on around the 12th of October. And we published it on the 15th of October with a core group of Dutch Scholars for Palestine, situated at different universities in the Netherlands. The statement explains the situations of those past, 1.5 weeks. And it calls for solidarity with Palestine, and it explains the colonial and occupation and apartheid context of what what happened on the 7th of October and after it. And as I said before, called for an academic boycott. So to cut to ask Dutch academic institutions to cut ties with Israeli academic institutions because they're clearly implicated in the Israeli army and the atrocities and the genocide that it's committing. It's indeed a group of scholars. So the people are a bit older than the younger generations that you talked about. Since we are a network, there are people with different views in the network. So we all support the liberation of Palestine, academic boycott, but in the network there are people that are a bit more radical than others. So that was something to navigate with the statement. And we also did get some criticism from people outside of the network about the statement, but I think in the end most of us were very happy about it, and we did get a lot of positive feedback as well. And actually almost 3,000 people signed it, so yeah, it's been received really well.
Thanks so much for sharing that context. So why did you feel it was important to help coordinate this statement, like in the context of the Netherlands, as somebody working in an academic institutional context?
In the Netherlands specifically, we were already disappointed with our government, who is not doing anything, who is supporting Israel unconditionally, and who is not even advocating for a ceasefire. So there was, on the one hand, this disappointment with the government, so to try to hold the government accountable with the statement. And on the other hand, there's also the academic space, where academic institutions are sort of claiming that they need to be neutral, that they do not want to be political, and that they do not take a stance. Therefore, I think by saying that, you're inherently political and taking a stance. And they also have a tendency to not allow events on Palestine. So, for example, we've had a lot of difficulty with organizing teach-ins at different universities. The university environments have become really securitized. So it was also to hold the universities accountable for this and to demand that they cut their ties with Israel.
And can you talk a bit about why organizing in support of Palestinian human rights was important for you? Just talk about, you know, the efforts and sort of mobilizing the force to support and to pay attention to what's happening in Gaza. I think there's a phrase that has come up a lot, which is "don't look away." And just any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think every decent human being should care for what's happening to the people of Gaza right now. Besides that, I also think it's really important to keep our eye on the West Bank, because a lot of violence is happening there against the Palestinians as well. As a student, I studied the Middle East, and we also studied history of Palestine. So that's where my connection to the movement comes from. And besides that, I also have Palestinian friends, and also I know some people who lost family in Gaza, and I just want to be there for them and the Palestinian people in general. And I think one way to do that is by the activism that I'm doing right now. And I hope to do more.
Can you describe Dutch Scholars for Palestine, just also the website? And it's really impressive how many people have come out to support this initiative.
Yeah, so Dutch Scholars for Palestine is a network of academics and cultural workers in the Netherlands, and that ranges from full professors to PhD students at universities, but also universities of applied sciences. And we have people from most of the academic institutions in the Netherlands. And yeah, it's a network in solidarity with Palestine, and its main goal is academic boycotts. We also have a website, DutchScholarsForPalestine.nl, where we have put our statement, but also earlier statements. And next to that, there we also put a resource list on it, so of films and books and articles that might be interesting to people that want to educate themselves on the topic of Palestine.
Just to finish, can you maybe describe an action that you've been part of in the Netherlands? I'm sure that also you're going to some different protests, something that was particularly impactful or moving or special for you in these last weeks.
Yeah, that's a good question. So there have been a lot of teach-ins that have been organized by people from Dutch College for Palestine, but also by student groups. And one of them was organized last week by my own student group, Students for Palestine, The Hague. And that one we did at the steps close to the entrance where everyone was coming in, and we had speeches about academic boycott and what's happening in Gaza, but also the West Bank right now. And that was very powerful. Security tried to intervene, but luckily we were allowed to finish the speeches. After that, they still did some pretty horrible stuff, as security does more often. I think that was really powerful that we got to convey our message to so many people, because a lot of students and staff turned up, and there was really a feeling of solidarity there.
So when you describe the teach-in, you're talking about having this in an open air space. So just so people can visualize what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was not in a lecture room, so we didn't book a room, but we did it in one of the public spaces in the university, close to the cafeteria, where a lot of people walk by when they go to class or leave their class.
And for the people listening to this, if, you know, there's people, Palestinian people outside of Palestine, but also in Palestine who are hearing this, if you have something to share for them, with them.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. I just want to say that I respect their resiliency, and that we try to help them as much as possible from the Netherlands and from Europe. And just sending much, much love and strength to them, and free Palestine.
So, Nisreen, there are so many initiatives around the world. It's amazing. I mean, the situation is so devastating. I think the idea that, you know, in 2023, there can be a serious initiative of workers, organizations, unions, or even like smaller informal worker centers taking action in solidarity with Palestine is... it's very important. So it's always really good to get a picture of how that's playing out in different places. If you could speak a bit about how that is playing out in your context of where you live in the Netherlands, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I will speak a bit about, the collective that we just formed in the past weeks called Workers for Palestine Netherlands. We started organizing as a group doing like arrest group support in one of the first protests. And then we decided, you know, to actually just continue working together and establishing some form of collective. And it has been, very enriching. People are very... very active, organizing on multiple fronts, some of which are on academic institutions, cultural institutions, artistic institutions, also organizing many direct actions. So we've also organized, we responded to the call for strike, and we also kind of, organized for the strike that happened a while ago. So also like doing the whole, organizing for the protests and being on the ground, always having an arrest group in contact with lawyers. So this has been happening in the Netherlands, and of course the mobilization has been like unprecedented as elsewhere in the world. But at the same time, there has been lots of repression, whether from the police, whether through censorship in institutions. Also, new laws are being issued. There's a law that is trying to basically research people who are like supportive of Hamas in the Netherlands.
You had put that in quote air quotes when you're talking about researching people who are supportive of Hamas in the context of the Netherlands. Why is critiquing this framework important?
Because first of all, like this would be like if this would lead into like implementation, it would be basically, I think, profiling, like who will be the most targeted. It will be, Palestinians and Arabs, Muslims. And now what we are also witnessing is a new lifeline for Zionism that is like reaching new policies for, anti-migration policies, Islamophobic policies, which has been something that is on the rise in Europe, of course, but now with the support for Israel that is happening in Europe, and also this allegation of anti-Semitism that is being projected onto Muslims, and this whole idea that anti-Semitism now became something that is imported from outside of Europe. And this is, of course, something that is very, very clear what's happening in Germany. I think it's incomparable to other contexts. It's not the same in the Netherlands. But, the starting point for any conversation has to be the condemning of Hamas and of armed resistance. Like, even the pro-Palestine, supposedly pro-Palestine people, like, force you to start by condemning Hamas. And then, okay, like, you can condemn Israel, but you must condemn Hamas. And of course, like, for me and for us and like Workers for Palestine, like, you know, this is a very problematic stance to take. Like, I can give also the example of universities, which also we've been like organizing. And because, universities have been like, I've been really silencing students, faculty, expelling them, including Jewish students and scholars, under the guise of like, maintaining safe space from like anti-Semitism. And that has been literally a witch hunt, And although like we, it was very clear when the war on Ukraine happened that, all universities, many universities in the Netherlands, for example, they ceased their collaboration, of course, issuing statements, endless statements in support of Ukraine, ceasing collaboration with Russian institutions, demanding boycotting Russian institutions. And even many people have even supported like donations to the Ukrainian resistance, which is a nation state army. It's not even like a militia or like a small group of resistant fighters. It's a nation state army, which was supported but through donations. So this was happening, in institutions and in activist spaces. And now, even like the idea of supporting armed resistance in Palestine will lead to your cancellation, will immediately, lead even like persecution, under law, like now, like with the definition of IHRA definition of anti-Semitism that is being pushed. So for us and for me, this is not possible. Like this, as Ghassan Kanafani says, like this is a kind of conversation between the sword and the neck. Like there is no negotiation with Israel, and the option of armed resistance cannot be off the table. At this moment in time, So in a way, like, yeah, we are trying to, this is about also like pushing for, you know, this narrative. And also like when people tell us, because many people are trying to criminalize from the river to the sea, Palestine would be free. A Dutch court ruled that it's not anti-Semitic. So this is good, unlike Germany. But many people, politicians and media outlets are still pushing to make, you know, this, to kind of claim that this is an anti-Semitic chant. I think, you know, what's been happening in the Netherlands is that, at least for many people, we are like not compromising. We're standing ground is very important, because this is a tactic of intimidation, and once you backpedal, they will call you anti-Semitic anyway, so it doesn't matter what you say. So that's why, you know, the strategy of like actually standing ground, even escalating, this is what is needed right now. Either disruptions, direct actions, you know, doing strikes. You know, like what we're also like doing is like also shutting down like streets, ports. Like there's a protest also at the end of the month to stop the like conference for like arms trade, because the Netherlands is very much complicit in arms trade, and it recently increased its budget and like collaboration with Elbit System. Which is an arms trade, which is like an Israeli company, has a new contract through the Dutch government. So these things must be exposed. Universities must be exposed for their complicity and with Israeli institutions who have direct involvement in settler colonialism, because many of them are, like, you know, having dorms and campuses on illegal settlements, Palestinian territories. So these types of ties must be exposed, we should be, as the workers for Palestine are doing, we're trying to, you know, push institutions to first of all declare their ties, secondly, to actually respond to the call for BDS and start this campaign for pushing like for BDS to be implemented in academic institutions in the Netherlands and artistic so this is on the level of institutions.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph, and we share a new edition every week. On this edition, as you heard, we have been hearing the voices of activists in the Netherlands who have been working at the intersections of labor struggles and also within universities to find space to speak out for Palestinian human rights. I encourage people to look up the work of these important projects. Dutch Scholars for Palestine is a super impressive initiative taking place in the Netherlands. And this has been another edition of Free City Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Free City Radio broadcasts every week on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. on CJLO 1690 AM, also in Geogeauge, Montreal, on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg at 10:30 p.m. on Tuesdays, on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria, BC on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and Saturdays at 7 a.m. Also on Met Radio at 1280 a.m. in Toronto at 5:30 a.m. on Fridays. And now on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. You can find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. And also we are streaming as a podcast. Look us up on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, Free City Radio. Thanks for tuning in, and we will speak to you next week.
revolutions funky.
Funky revolutions funky. Hey, hey, hey. Funky revolutions
whoa,
funky.
Hey, hey, hey.
Funky revolutions funky.
You are listening to Funky Revolutions. We see the world.
For your mind and for your hip, this is the Mothership's cassette archives, 25 years of funky revolutions. A chance to hear some of the musicians, interviews, and series that have marked 25 years of discovery on the flight of the Mothership with host Khalid. On this week's episode, Hip Hop Elements. First, an interview from September of 1995 with Rubadoid Band, featuring then a 13-year-old DJ A-Track and his brother Dave One. In a second part, two interviews, or at least parts of interviews, done with Chaos, first in the spring of 2002 for his first album, Exit.